We welcome in Travis Molinex joining us here this morning from the Extension Center, the Research Extension here in North Platte. Travis, thanks for taking some time for us this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, your official title with the Extension, if you don't mind, Travis?
I'm a range cattle nutritionist and extension specialist for UNL.
Okay, awesome. So tell us about the primary work you do day-to-day for the Extension then.
You know, it's a split job kind of from the research and extension side. So 50% of my time is somewhat devoted to research, and the other 50% is devoted to extension outreach. So kind of a consultant for stakeholders in the state.
Okay. Kind of the best of both worlds then for you?
It is. It's a good mix. You know, they feed off each other. And so we get a lot of questions, research topics driven by problems that beef producers are facing in the state, and have the ability to take that back to them as we get those projects wrapping up.
Okay.
Can you give us an example or two? What kind of project you're working on now, or what quandaries are beef producers facing?
Yeah, so a lot of my research deals with nutritional influence on the cow-calf herd, from nutrition reproduction interactions to growing heifers and yearling steers. And so, you know, our producers always face the environmental challenges are tough. If you think about the last few years of high rainfall, low quality forest situations to this year of being dry. Mm-hmm. And so every year is different, and every year's challenge is different. And, you know, how do you navigate and adapt to all those challenges and still be productive and sustainable within your system? And so try and give them the skill sets or the information to navigate through those challenges as best possible.
And, Travis, what kind of challenges have the guys and gals you work with this year been encountering in terms of COVID-19?
COVID has hurt in a lot of different ways, but the biggest one has hurt down the stream from the packing industry, from the slaughter plants. And so that slowed a lot of things down because of a lack of employees in those slaughter plants. And so that's kind of backed stuff up where a lot of producers couldn't sell or wasn't selling when they needed to or wanted to. And some of the price differences driven by that because of not being able to sell or there was a flooded market. And so that was the biggest challenge. For most part, cow-calf producers were not faced with a lot of challenges from COVID itself.
Sure.
Because, you know, they live in pretty secluded lives.
Yeah.
And so they're not faced with, like, someone living in a larger city of Lincoln, Omaha.
They've been social distancing for years.
They've been social distancing for years. And that's why you saw in the Sandhills that there was really a lack of COVID outbreak for a long period of time. But they were faced with what a lot of people living in cities and towns that had to work from home or got laid off.
Whatever. Sure.
Yep.
But when the packing houses couldn't procure the cattle or buy the cattle, then that created a backlog and stuff. So you probably had to help them figure out how to keep those cattle going, but try to finish them out when there's no place to go with them, that sort of thing.
So that was a big focus of extension, and from the feedlot side is, you know, how do you hold some of these steers back or yearlings back? Mm-hmm. So UNL was pretty active in that side. They were pretty active from the COVID outbreak of managing employees side of those, you know, packing houses as well.
Well, it's presented a lot of challenges all over the state, and I guess it shows how far-reaching some of the consequences are, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And were there any sale barns that closed, too? I think there were some that kind of had boarded up at some points during the outbreak.
Yeah, I mean, they were faced with the same thing of not allowing or couldn't allow people in. And so a lot of them went on, but they had to go on as online-based. They still have quite a few online buyers anyways, but that did present challenges selling things at stockyards due to, you know, lack of, you can only have so many people there.
Sure. Right. Might have forced some people to go to the internet world a little bit more than what they would prefer, I would imagine.
Right.
But
yep.
Welcome to 2020.
Yep.
I mean, we haven't.
Yeah. Yep. I was just thinking it's times like these when the university you know, really comes in handy because you got so much expertise you can throw at specific situations and do the research, tell people what they should be doing, or make a lot of recommendations when people need to know because they've never been presented with this situation before. So
yeah,
so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and the downside is always that, you know, we can't predict these either,
yeah.
And so we don't always have the best information to help producers as well.
Yeah.
Just do the best with the information you have and you help out as best as you can.
Correct. Yep. Exactly.
Yep.
Now, obviously, Travis, looking ahead, a lot of the folks that you work with are going to be thinking ahead to the winter months, and I think some of the almanacs are giving us less than flattering winter reports, unfortunately. So what conversations are you having with producers heading into those winter months to prepare for the cold weather and the possibility of blizzards and other whiteout conditions?
Right. So, you know, with the dry conditions, especially we had here in the southwest of here, you know, hay was an issue. I know a lot of guys that put up hay were 50% of their normal average.
Mm.
And so hay prices, getting hay is going to be an issue. There's been some thin cows. And so just managing of being able to not only get the feed stuff you need, but just your nutritional management, getting those cows in a good condition before those bad weather hits, you know, that creates challenges once it gets wet and cold, that the nutritional stress of that wet winter takes a challenge that can result in thinner cows. So getting them bounce back from weaning time, get that calf off, and putting back condition score back on those cows before winter hits is important. And so working with their nutritional strategy of getting those cows in good condition before that happens.
And obviously, I'm sure a lot of folks turning cows out on stocks right now if they're able to, as I think some harvesters in the area are kind of wrapping up, at least in some fields. They're far from being completely finished, but maybe wrapping up portions here and there.
Yep, we're seeing kind of in that transition phase where, you know, if fields are done, you'll start seeing some cows, yearlings in stocks already. But we're still, you know, still harvesting. You'd like to have the area done before you start turning out animals due to not wanting those to get into unharvested corn.
The damage possibility.
Exactly. Yep. And so we'll start seeing more and more cows or yearlings on corn stalks as we progress, get closer to November, December.
Well, Travis, is there anything else you want to go ahead today?
No, I'm just commenting. I just think you mentioned that you don't always have all the answers because you get caught with unexpected things too, but you have a staff that can do the research and stuff, and I think that's one of your roles. And
yes, yep.
dig stuff out.
Exactly.
Producers,
yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Now,
so,
Travis, if folks want to get a hold of you and discuss their operations with you, how can they get in contact and
You can look me up on, if we've got a really good Beef UNL website. If you search Beef UNL, search my name, Travis Mullinix. Pretty easy to find. Email me, travis.mullinix, M-U-L-L-I-N-I-K-S, @unl.edu. And then I'll help you best way we can.
Awesome. Well, Travis, appreciate the work you do here locally for a lot of producers throughout the area. And wish you good luck and have a good rest of your day, sir.
All right. Thanks for having me.